Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 225, part one, Grower or Growee. Today is Friday, December 16th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Yes, I said my three S's. Smile, star, strong. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA.
What? I'm doing the podcast.
Oh, no. Where was I? Okay. I am coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikro Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, maybe you're a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. There's a lot of food here. Don't be shy. What you need to bring is a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members. And bring extra bags. There's a lot of free bread outside. Okay. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where those of you who don't need food can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. All right. Scripture links. Yes. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find some scripture links there that Pastor Paul uses within his message. I have gone to a lot of trouble to go find those links for you so you can have a private Bible study on your own. So be sure to check those out. And the month of December. Okay, here's the lineup for the podcast. Four messages starting with In All Things, Consolation, Grower or Growee, Cry Out for Deliverance. And for New Year's, I'm going to give you January's just because I want to. Why is the name of the message? And why are we doing this podcast? Well, it's a lot of fun. And I hope you're getting something out of it, like the meaning of life. I want to end December with just a special little conversation between Danny Rose and Tina Vitale, one of my favorites. Here goes. Danny Rose. My rabbi, Rabbi Pearlstein, used to say, we're all guilty in the eyes of God. Tina Vitale. Do you believe in God? Danny Rose. No, but I'm guilty over it. Danny Rose. It's very important to be guilty. I'm guilty all the time, and I never did anything. For all you guilt-ridden people out there, listen to Pastor Paul's every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. God bless you, and have a great month of December, and keep your gifts under $50.
Tonight's message is entitled, Grower or Growee. And in Psalm 17, 1 and 5, David knew better. He sought God, the grower, and he was the growee. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips, make-believe lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. That's the only way to meet God. There's nobody around to bother you. Just your conscience. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. Why? Because he had already told God everything. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress concerning the works of men. I'm not going to get into what men are doing and not doing. I'm not going to get into their works. Then he goes on. By the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. But he starts out, hear the right, O Lord. He that has the worst cause, most times, makes the most noise. Trying to cover up. He has apprehension. He's afraid he won't be heard, and he's crying out to God. Have you ever had that happen to you? When it seems like everything is going wrong and nothing's going right, and you cry out to God, and it's like he doesn't even hear you. And so in one verse, he pleads to be heard three times. Hear the right, O Lord. Give ear unto my prayer. Attend unto my cry. You hearing this? Let me get this bug out of here. It's bugging me. Attend unto my cry. What earnestness. Now here we have no mere talker. Isn't there a lot of talkers? So easy to sit down over a jug of coffee and just talk. And so here we have David weeping, let's say lamenting. Take care of me, listen to me, you know me, hear my cry. And I thought as I was reading this, who can resist a cry? I mean, a real hearty cry is always heard. Now, I've never heard my dad cry but once. And that was enough. Now, I heard my mother cry a lot. She was a bawler. About once a month, she'd have a nervous cry. Just think how much more God hears your cry. I mean, even our earliest utterances was a cry. Give ear unto my prayer. See, God will hear, won't he? Keep on a crying, calling out like a child. And then he goes on, that goeth not out of feigned lips. Sincerity. Now that's the key to prayer. You ever been in a circle and you know You know, the person's not sincere and they're just praying away, man. They're saying these high praise prayers. And you know they're out of feigned lips. You know they're not earnest. And they're pleading away and carrying on and carrying on and carrying on. You know a little bit about their life. You know that they're sometimes meaner than hell itself. See, because lips of deceit are detestable. I think hypocrisy then in prayer, even in the remotest degree, is fatal and very, very foolish. I mean, who can you deceive? Can you deceive God? I mean, aren't you then grossly deceived yourself? See, our sincerity in prayer has no merit in it without the name of Jesus Christ. Let my sentence, it says, come forth from thy presence. Judge me. Look at my heart. Only just talk to me, okay? Now he's becoming bold because he's becoming honest. Because prayer, you know, brings new life. He's entered into, let's call it, a larger room. He is, let's say, expanding. He's left the crib, he's left the front room, and now he's in the dining area. Then he goes on, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Now we don't desire another to judge us but God. No, you'll have a lot of judges in your life. But there's only one judge of you, and that's God. You can't even judge yourself. And we don't ask to be excused from judgment or even to be judged on a principles of partiality. See, because our hope does not lie in the prospect of favoritism. See, God likes me better than you type of thing. It goes on, thou hast proved mine heart, because Jesus has made our life whole. Thou hast visited me in the night. He makes us happy because he comes unannounced. You'll be laying there and all of a sudden Jesus is in the room with you. He can come unannounced and at any time. You know, at night the soul is free from business with the world, so we are fresh with business with God. All you have to do is whisper out, God, are you there? And your mind will start turning and things will start happening and the room will fill up with the presence of God. Only you got to be honest. You can't pray with feigned lips. You can't give God lip service. You got to be honest with God. Lord, I'm crying out. You know mine heart. Well, take a look at it. You know all my faults. Doesn't mean anything to me, Lord, that I am judged of men. But I want you to come on in and I want you to judge me right now. I want you to take a look at me right now. But just talk to me. That's all I want. And then he goes on, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. See, the word of God can keep us from evil. Maybe you're contemplating telling someone off. Man, I'd like to give them a piece of my mind. Well, the word of God keeps you from doing that. All of a sudden, words will come to you from the Bible into your mind and into your soul. You just get a spirit witness that, no, that wouldn't be the thing to do at all. And so you keep quiet. See, we can't keep from evil without keeping to good. Because if the bushel isn't full of wheat, it may soon be once more full of chaff. So you got to keep your mind occupied on Christ. You got to cry out to God when you feel like laying someone low, okay? And you got to do good when you feel like doing evil. And keep your bushel basket full of wheat, because if it isn't full, it'll soon be full of chaff. Yes, we can slip on God's highway, King's highway. See, the road is good. Oh, it's very, very good. But our steps are evil. Some even trip over grace. I hear it all the time on the radio. They leave the path then that's lit with simple truth to walk sort of in a thorny ditch so they can complain about their always. We need God's word to cultivate us. You know, the world right now is into a lot of self-cultivation. Home improvements. Humanism. Self-made people. But you know what? I was thinking about it the other day. The humanist looks real good next to the legalist. You read the doctrine of the humanist and it looks more Christian than some Christianity. Because at least they treat each other like human beings. Not like they're supposed to be spiritual beings and they didn't quite make it and so they got to shoot them down. We shall, the Bible says, seek the Lord, our grower. Because you know why? He causes us, the Bible says. He causes us to grow. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see here we have Jesus putting us into a larger room with more light for more growth. So that we can be God cultivated. Instead of this self-cultivation. All the time now, every time you turn the TV on or listen to the radio or pick up a book or look through the bookshelves, seems like the world is looking for inner poise and serenity. Looking for that utopia, looking for that peace, looking for that time off, looking for that time away. And they want to know themselves better, and so they get into groups and they sort of guru out on each other. That's why people have their own little gurus. And they try to grow in the guru. My guru says this, and my guru says that. And I says, you know what? It sounds so much like Christianity. My prophet says this, and my prophet says that, and my prophet says that. I mean, it's going to come down to that. Right now, they just go to certain people for a word, and they lose that contact with God in that still of the night, and they don't reach out to God and say, God, judge me. And they look for some kind of a prophet that will give them a soothing word. Or in some cases, one that will give them fire and brimstone. Some people like to, you know, sort of self out. And so they want to cultivate themselves. The Bible calls that the fields of the flesh. Psychoanalysis is based on the idea that self-knowledge is self-healing. Even the ancient Greek says, know thyself, and the world now says, know thy subconscious self. Ouch. Do you want to know your subconscious self? Well, take a look out at Stillwater or the mental institutions. Read Hitler's memoirs. Read about demoned activity and you will pretty close know the inner parts of your subconscious mind. That, my friend, is why we need a Savior. No, the only way a person should know self is if he wants to grow in self. I thought to myself, what a homegrown pain that can be. I think this is based then upon the illusion self-knowledge is self-healing. And this is wrong. Some of the most disturbed people that I've ever met have been psychoanalyzed to pieces, picked and probed to pieces. They have read every shrink book, and it leaves them with probed, broken pieces. No, know Jesus Christ only. See Jesus only and become like that which you see. I think any system then that leaves you occupied with self is wrong. Isn't there a song like that? Time on my hands, me in my arms. Nothing in view but flesh. I think that's what's wrong with the cults of self-cultivation. Because self-cultivation then means self-concentration, and self-concentration means self-deterioration. You start to deteriorate. Start to look old before your time. That's why there are so many people trying to look young. I'm not against that. But it shouldn't become your God. You shouldn't be patting on your chin every 5 seconds, you know what I mean? Huh? Looking in the mirror. It'll happen quick enough. Believe me. It happens over a period of time, but it seems like it happens all at once. And we want to maintain that self. Well, you want to gain your life, well then lose it. Try to keep a hold of your youth. You know what I mean? End up in a wheelchair. See, because at the start it may boost you, but eventually and always it'll let you down. The Bible says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Where is your life? Hidden in Christ in God. Where are you going to find it? You're not going to find it in another person. They're crowded in there. It's crowded with self. They ain't got room for you. You try to move into somebody. No, it's crowded in there. Hey, no, don't get too close. I'm saturated with self right now. There's not room for you. Get away. Come back another day. Come back when I'm 25 or 30 years older. Then I might need you. But right now I'm very, very busy trying to cultivate myself. Well, I think self-cultivation is all right. To a degree, I mean, it's necessary. Provided, let's say, that self has been surrendered to God, then it can be cultivated. Because it's God-centered and not self-centered. And there's nothing more boring than a self-centered person. God, they are so boring. Well, how do you know that? Because I believe before we know Jesus, we're all self-centered. Even when we're shy. Why are we shy? We're self-centered. We're centered in self. We're just a shy, self-centered person. Or a bold, self-centered person. See, if you start to cultivate, you're going to collapse. But if you surrender, you stand. Psalm 18 and 18, he brought me forth into a large place, and there he delivered me. In other words, you're not going to get free in this little closet room. It has to be a larger room so you can expand. Psalm 18 and 19 then, he brought me forth also into a larger place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You have to take the first step and go into the larger room. God delights in that type of faith. And there he's going to deliver you. Or do you want to stay in the little closets of self? Psalm 18 and 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he recompensed me. And so what are we saying here? The only way that God can delight in us is in Jesus Christ. Now the legalist will pick that up and say, see, it's my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he recompensed me. And they'll build a whole doctrine off of that. No. See, the Bible says he has made you righteous. You can't get righteous on your own. You cannot build up points. Have you ever tried to build up the point system and you get blocks built way up to here? And you get the block, and you're walking around real proud. Oh, yeah, I'm in the higher classrooms of spiritual faith there. See there? Well, there you can see pinnacle of success. It's going to all come tumbling down. Someone will help it push it over. You'll probably kick it over yourself. See, because when you become self-centered, you get clumsy. And so, again, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands. He recompensed me. And the only way that can happen is when the righteousness of Jesus Christ indwells you when you're saved, born again. And so we hear the word of God, and our righteousness is something we receive by faith. By receiving the word, and that word is Jesus. Expansion. I believe your life is no more valuable than your capacity to expand. Are you willing to expand? It costs to expand. You talk to any businessman, and he'll tell you when you start talking expansion, now in a worldly sense, so you'll understand the spiritual end of it. When you start talking expansion, you're talking more money, more cost, more work, more worry. Well, do you want to expand in the Lord? It's going to cost you more. It's going to cost you more because you're going to go into a larger room. When you get into a larger room, there's more light. Where there's more light, you're going to see more truth. And the truth is the gospel message. And as you have a revelation off of the gospel message, and it's always the same, the revelation is Jesus Christ. You're going to enter in to a time of persecution, nakedness, peril, and sword. Do you want to take that trip? Well, it really isn't all that bad if you leave the fields of the flesh and you leave that little closet of self. Are you hearing this? And so the word says, he brought me into a large room, he hath delivered me. Well, what are we talking about here? We're hidden in Christ and God. Isn't that a large place? There's room for all kinds of expansion there. Man, you can expand. In my Father's house there are many rooms. There's a lot of rooms. There's a lot of expansion going on. And so you see, either people expand or they have serious problems living confined lives. Let me read that over again. Either people expand, or they have serious problems living confined lives. What's a confined life? A confined life is just keeping your mind on one little thing. Why didn't she speak to me? Why did this person say that to me? That's confining yourself. Now you got yourself in a little room because someone said something to you, and boy, now you're going to live in that room of resentment. How many people do that all the time? We all do. I'll just make them sorry they ever got on my case. I know how to play the game. Spiritual bingo. Huh? And so we live in this little confined room because we go ahead and want to live in that confined room. They were mean to me. That room. Isn't that the way it is in neighborhoods? People live in a confined area. And sometimes they're afraid to go out because they don't want to expand, because it's going to cost something to expand. It always costs you when you expand. Because that living in self-cultivation in the small room of self will make you sort of paranoid. You know what? There's a lot of people out there in paranoia. Out there, well, I live in Brooklyn Park, I live in Brooklyn Center, I live in the North Side, and they're confined to that area. And now, spiritually speaking, it's the same way, spiritually speaking, isn't it? It'll make you insecure, it will make you hateful, it will make you suspicious, it will make you resentful, all the products of self-centered person. Now the Bible says you got to lose your life to gain your life. What's that? I mean, if your life is standing in the mirror combing your hair, and I'm not just saying that because I don't have no hair, or combing your beard, or whatever it is, that's a pretty small room, isn't it? If it's just putting on clothes so everybody will see you and what you look like and what you act like, that's a pretty small room, isn't it? It's a pretty small room when it's just the confines of your own comfort, your own family, and there's no outreach. And a lot of churches, we can all get involved in that, where we're just a self-centered church and we don't reach out to anybody. And what do we raise? A whole lot of self-centered nincompoops. Say amen, somebody. How many hearing this? We get back just what we measured out. Because, again, self-cultivation means self-concentration, and self-concentration means self-deterioration. You start to deteriorate. See, if you don't expand and get new ideas and hear from God, just like in the ordinary living, you dry up. Well, I hear someone on the radio say, what do you mean by expansion? Proverbs 12 and 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in that pathway there is no death. In the way of Jesus Christ, it's saying, the only way, there is life and there is no death. That means we are never ever separated from life. Now, when people are well, they don't fear death. They start to get sick and then they start fearing. Oh, I've got a pain. Well, you're feeling fine tonight. Get a real sharp pain someplace. Oh, could be way down here on your hip. I'm having a heart attack. I think I'm having a heart attack down there on your hip. And they start to challenge God. Start quoting scriptures to God. And so we see so many Christians that are happy and so many Christians that are not happy. What do they need? Expansion. They expand out of their self-cultivation. Cultivating the fields of the flesh and going to hyped up meetings where everybody just rants and raves and throws their head back and their wigs fall off and everything else, and they're rolling the floor and, oh my, come on now. All flesh. Guy said he went to a meeting and everybody was howling, and they were howling like dogs. And he said, you know what? He says, I knew it was of God because one of the people got a hold of me when they were howling like that, and I got a witness all over my whole body. I says, well, you get a witness when a werewolf grabs a hold of you too. I says, that's not order. There's order in the house of God. You don't have to act like a complete nut. Scare. The Bible even tells us, don't scare people out. Don't get into too much spiritual things with a little lamb that just comes in and isn't saved yet. Forget all of your seminar teachings when a little lamb comes in. They aren't interested in how much, you know, or how loud you can howl. Yeah, there's misuses all over, aren't there? Proverbs 13 and 18. The ransoms of life are our riches. What does that mean? Ransoms of life. Your life is your riches. Now, if you didn't have your life, what good would gold be? If you're dead, what good would gold be? Would you care what you look like if you were dead? The ransoms of life are our riches. And so it's saying Jesus Christ ransomed us, and those ransoms are our riches. He ransomed me from fear, and I live in the riches of his love. He ransomed me from ungodly sorrow, so I live in godly joy. He ransomed me from a driving spirit. You ever have that driving spirit where you're just driven? Now I have peace. He ransomed me from a restless attitude, and now I have a quiet, competitive spirit. Our ransoms are our riches. Proverbs 12 and 19 says, the lip of truth is everlasting, but the lying tongue is for a moment. Maybe we lie so we won't hurt someone. It's only for a moment. Maybe we lie to get out of trouble. Maybe we lie so we won't have to face some kind of a consequence. But see, then the lip of truth, it says, is everlasting. I believe a lot of times people betray what they say on the basis of what they are like. They say, I love you, and they don't follow up with it. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. I love you. Hug, hug, hug. Hug, hug. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Test their love and say, I don't love you. Your feet are too big. See how far that love will go. What do they need? They need expansion. Now, I'm not saying that, well, insecure people, let's say, they need encouragement. But point them to Jesus. Instead of having him come over to your house so you can lay hands on him every other day. It's coming through, it's coming through. Huh? Some self-appointed prophet lays down her dish rag and wipes her hands off and takes time out of her busy day to give you a word on what you're supposed to do with your life. And your husband and your kids and your car and your house and your bills and everything. What an easy way out. Secret agents for God. That's the latest one. Secret agents for the Lord. Bunch of garbage. What's secret about following Jesus? It says, shout it from the housetops. Now they got books out, secret agents for the Lord. Well, I hope they get good in secret, so I never hear about them. They're driving you nuts coming up. I'm so-and-so. I'm a secret agent for the Lord. Sort of like Elliot Ness movies. Those old, you ever seen them old reruns? Na ta ta, Chicago East Side, Bill Ness, huh? Secret agent. Yeah. It's a joke. No, the lip of truth is everlasting, but a lying tongue is for a moment. And there's a lot of people lying to each other. Expansion is so interesting. Psalm 36. Let us magnify the Lord, for he takes great pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now they take that one and they say, God wants you to be filthy rich. And all you have to do is claim it. I mean, he wants you to have the best of everything. Now, you've got a Cadillac. Did you pray specifically? Did you want wire wheels on it? You forgot the wire wheels. Sit down and really plan this prayer out. Now, isn't that self? Now, isn't that self? Well, no, we're supposed to claim whatever we want in faith. Ask whatever you will in faith, believing, and it will be yours. Well, you might be surprised and be buried in Cadillacs with wire wheels. I'm afraid if I was God, I'd dump about 14,000 of them right down on whoever wanted them. Here! People are starving all over. Are you hearing this? Let me read that again. Let us magnify the Lord, for he takes great pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Are you serving the Lord? That's number one. Well, then you shouldn't be disheartened. Go ahead, go on out and buy some new clothes. But first of all, clear out your clothes closet. Get rid of all of your old clothes, even if they're one day old. Trade your car in. But then remember the scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. See, I believe we need a larger room to contain what God has for those who love him. And I think it would be full of a lot of people. Souls. And remember, the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me. Nowhere do I see in the Bible where we're to go ahead and pray for earthly goods. Did Jesus say, get down and pray in faith believing for the best house and it'll be yours. And for the best car and it'll be yours. No, it says that, are you better than your master? He didn't have anywhere to lay his head. Are you better than that? But let's just leave all those scriptures out so we can just get into nonsense. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added unto you. What will Jesus see when he visits your larger room? Will it look like a great big toy box? No, this means Jesus Christ wants us to live in a large room. Not the closets of our minds. Complete with mothballs, preserving self. What's there really to save anyway, I mean, in your flesh? What's there really to save? No, when you grow in Christ, isn't that the growth? Isn't there a balance in life between suffering and joy? Well, there wouldn't even be joy if there was no suffering. I mean, there has to be the opposites, doesn't there? Doesn't there have to be an opposite? It seems to me there does. My bodily presence makes a lot of you people beautiful. Thank God for me. There's got to be opposites, don't you understand? I mean, there has to be trials and tribulations so there can be victories and freedom. See, but we just want to get on the one end of the teeter-totter. And leave people hanging up in the air. All us 900-pound word hogs get on one end. And these skinny little Christians up on the other end up there, you know. They haven't fattened up yet. They don't understand. Just leave them hanging there. Hey, get them out of trouble. Are you hearing this? And Psalm 36 and 8 says like this. Says he enjoys us drinking at the rivers of his pleasure forever. Well, what's his pleasure? His people is his pleasure. For the joy that is before him. Psalm 16 and 11. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so it's saying Jesus Christ is seated in heaven and has made it possible for us to receive our ransoms and riches right now. Well, what's rich? Well, we fear not death. That's rich, isn't it? We live in the lip of truth. That's rich, isn't it? And then it says we then go to the right hand, get introduced to the Father. And now we're part of the throne family. Now we're accepted, the Bible says, because we are bought by the blood. And we feel great when we remember that. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. We have communion, so we remember that. So now here we have identification. And some stop right there. No, go on from identification to identifying. Because to identify means you are crucified with Christ. Now, you've taken on the name of Jesus. Now you have to take on the walk of Jesus. Now you have to leave identification and you have to get into identifying with suffering. And pain in the flesh, but there's a joy in your spirit. There's a few things here. And so we have thousands right now in Christians all over that have received identifications, but not the identity. They should tear up their identification cards, let's say. I am a Christian. I belong to this church or that church. I am what? I am a member, and tear that up. And so they go through a lot of valleys and dim mirrors, and they fear evil. Because they won't identify with Jesus. Maybe they seek the opposite sex, trying to find someone who identifies with them. Will you identify with me? Will you? You look like you could identify with me. You look kind of like my sister. Or you look like my mother. And so they run all over trying to find somebody that can identify with them. They even go to the computers. And that spits out a whole list in a whole bunch of people there. Now, I was at the cafe up here, and they had this. It looked like, did you ever notice how them car things, how years ago they used to have these car magazines, how they've grown? Now they're about like a St. Paul or Minneapolis phone book. They used to be little teeny things. swaps and cars for sale and things like that. And now they have, I think the magazine was called Meet a Partner. Man, it was about that thick. Well, they drive themselves crazy with all of the options. Woman 50 desires man of 22. Well, at least she tells the truth.
There you have it. That was part one, grower or growee. Be sure to listen to part two on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Get ready, you got to move.